Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're covering several breaking news stories out of Wake County this noon. Two middle schools are now dismissing early after being on code red lockdown.
We do want to emphasize there's been no shooter and no injuries. All students are safe, but as you can imagine, nerves are on edge. The first alert went out this morning at Zebulon Magnet Middle School, where you're looking live from Sky 5. Authorities spent several days at campus this week after threats posted to social media.
And then just hours later, East Millbrook Magnet Middle School was placed on code red lockdown. And moments before this newscast, we learned both will be dismissing students early. We have team coverage of our two top stories. Brett Neese is live at East Millbrook. We begin with WRL's Adam Owens, live outside Zebulon Magnet Middle School. Adam.
Yeah, the motion was pretty incredible. I'm going to step out of the way so you can see exactly what is happening at Zebulon Middle right now. We were on a code red lockdown at this school, but it has now been moved to a lesser code yellow. That is allowing parents who have been waiting outside the school for hours, concerned about their children inside, to pick up their children and take them away from school. They've been waiting for hours, communicating with their children via text, concerned about them inside for, again, a very long time. So there is a moment of exhale and of relief outside this magnet school, this middle school here at the moment. According to first responders radio traffic, officers arrived to reports of an active shooter and possible shots fired at the school. But after they assessed the situation, as you mentioned, officers reported there were no evidence of any gun or any shooter that was found here and no injuries as well. Still, Zebulon Middle School went on a code red lockdown for so long, it meant that nobody could come or go. More recently, the police chief here in Zebulon has confirmed for us that they have now moved to a lesser code yellow. Several parents were concerned by images posted online. They say appear to be threats against the school here, and the police chief confirms that that is, in fact, part of their investigation in this case. Parents say their children inside told them they were scared, that they were gathered in corners of classrooms. The school community has been through a lot. Just earlier this week, as we reported on WRAL, Zebulon Middle was placed on lockdown over threats posted on social media suggesting someone planned to bring guns to the school. Parents like Brooke Young, they tell me they do not feel their kids are safe.
They were on code yellow lockdown 2-3 days ago. Now it's code red and it's the same issue.
How's your daughter dealing with it?
She's with a couple of her friends, and she said they're sitting in a corner and they're scared. But I told her the police are searching, and I think it's going to be fine.
When I was talking to that parent and others, it was hard not to get emotional along with them. They were shaking at times, very concerned about what might be going on inside. Again, it turned out that there was no threat, according to police. There were no weapons inside. But to get the call that your school, that your child attends, is going on lockdown, that there may be a threat, those parents rushing here, the emotions involved there, the amount of effort and resources it takes for our law enforcement to respond to this, it really was chaotic. But now you're seeing these parents finally reuniting with their children, hugging them a little tighter, no doubt. Back to you.
We are so glad for those parents and students. Adam Owens, live at Zebulon Magnet Middle School. Thank you. Now, about an hour later, a second code red lockdown went into effect at East Millbrook Magnet Middle School in Raleigh. That lockdown has since now been lifted, and that's where we find WRAL's Brett Neese. And Brett, what does the scene look like there now?
Renee, right now they are releasing early, and a lot of parents have showed up, as you can imagine, after that code red went out, with tense emotions, just wondering what exactly happened. I'm going to step behind the camera and show you a little bit of what this scene looks like right now, as you see the line for the early dismissal here as the cars are making their way to the front entrance. There's several parents and school officials right there. That woman with the laptop is one of the school officials who is checking out these students and making sure they're with their parent before they leave the school property. We have video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker of what it looked like whenever I first got here after that code red was initiated. And I spoke with a mother and her seventh grader about that moment when that code red went out. Take a listen to what the seventh grader said happened next.
Everybody was already freaking out. And when they called the lockdown, everybody just like freaked out. Everybody started running into my teacher's office, and we turned out the lights, and my teacher was not here. We had a sub, so everybody was just going crazy.
Very tense moments when that code red happened. It's not clear what caused it. The alert that went out to parents said the same as it usually does, that a security concern prompted it. We're working to learn what exactly the threat was that caused the school to go into lockdown. As soon as we have more information, we'll pass it along, Renee.
Understandably tough to go on with the school day after a lockdown, and so they are now dismissing early. Brett Neese at East Millbrook Magnet Middle School.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, a code yellow lockdown was issued for Broughton High School. We have Sky 5 video from earlier today. This has since ended around 10:45 this morning. The school says they placed their campus on a modified code yellow lockdown because of a security concern at the school. That lockdown did end at about 11:30 this morning, so just 30 minutes ago. They say the lockdown was a precautionary measure to ensure the safety of our students and faculty. They go on to say, we greatly appreciate the relationship they have with law enforcement in responding to such situations. They work closely with us to ensure the safety of our students every single day. Again, that's code yellow lockdown at Broughton High School is now over.
Michelle, thanks. Finally, a much lighter turn here. The sun is breaking out across our area, and our next weather issue is the wind and cold on the way. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at tonight's bitter wind chills on the way.
Look at that sunshine. Nice to see after such a dreary week. And people are wasting no time getting out and enjoying it. It is chilly. You can see the flags there on the golf course at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. Those are whipping in the wind, and everybody's definitely dressed warmly out there. But that sunshine is just making it irresistible, really, to get outside. Our normal low temperature this time of year is 33. We're going to drop down to 20 degrees overnight tonight. That's going to be about 25 degrees colder than it was this morning. It's still chilly Sunday morning, and then we see our temperatures starting to climb a little bit in the overnight and in the afternoon. But look at what we're in for overnight tonight and early tomorrow. Our overnight wind chills will be in the teens at 5 a.m. 17, at 8 a.m. 17. Of course, it is the weekend of the Krispy Kreme Challenge. We're going to talk about the forecast for that coming up in just a little bit. But really, all day long, it stays feeling chilly. Even at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the temperatures will still feel like mid-30s. The actual high temperature tomorrow will be 42, and we're looking at 44 this afternoon. We should see a good bit of sunshine today and tomorrow. It may cloud up just a bit for Sunday. Temperatures will be close to normal at 54, and there may be an isolated shower. We'll go into more detail about our weekend forecast coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks.
A national bike gang leader, Renee.
With headquarters in Raleigh, will now spend the rest of his life in prison. Christopher Baker, a well-known, prolific leader of the Pagan Biker Gang, is now sitting in a federal jail cell for trafficking massive amounts of meth and firearms across the East Coast. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joining us live from the federal courthouse, where a news conference wrapped up a short time ago. Chelsea.
Renee, they called Christopher Baker one of the most violent drug dealers from our area, actually one of 13 leaders of the Pagan Motorcycle Club, who rose through the ranks not just locally but internationally using violence, fear, and intimidation. Now, 49-year-old Baker, a Raleigh-based leader of that Pagan Motorcycle Club, will now spend 75 years in a federal prison. 19 other people were also sentenced, 12 of them also Pagan members, according to the United States Attorney. Pictures were shown at the news conference today of evidence collected, and that included helmets with swastikas, a well-known hate symbol. We learned today that Baker supplied over 260 kilograms of meth into the Raleigh area and the entire East Coast, what they call today 100% pure. Baker's sources of supply of meth and guns, rather, came from Atlanta, and he would have members of the Pagan Gang drive him from Raleigh to Atlanta to pick up those items to distribute all across the Eastern Seaboard. In the operation, the ATF and federal agents also confiscated 49 firearms, including a machine gun. Baker, we learned, was also the president of the Raleigh Pagan chapter prior to his arrest in 2021.
He's been stripped of his patches, stripped of his colors, stripped of his motorcycle. He will never again feel the freedom of the open road that millions of law-abiding bikers enjoy every day. He will spend the rest of his life in federal prison.
We learned today that Baker ordered the killing of two people that got in his way, but Raleigh police and the ATF intervened and thwarted that instance. We should mention he does not face any hate crime charges. Now, motorcycle gangs have been in the news of late. You'll recall on New Year's Day, 37-year-old Jonas Padilla was murdered in Raleigh. Sources say he was a member of the Pagan Motorcycle Club. Five men in a rival motorcycle gang were arrested on murder charges in his death. Back to you.
Chelsea Donovan reporting live in Raleigh. Chelsea, thanks. Raleigh police have arrested a man for a dozen sex crimes against a child, and the offenses date back 16 years. Jeffrey Jose De Pena was arrested in Washington State, where he now lives. Court documents say the 36-year-old took indecent liberties with a child under 16 years old in 2007, 2008, and again in 2012. Raleigh police took out warrants for De Pena in early January. He faces 12 felonies, including 5 counts of taking indecent liberties and 7 counts of first-degree sex offense with a child.
The January jobs report dropped this morning, and the numbers are stunning. The number of jobs added well exceeded what Wall Street was predicting. WRO's Ken Smith is here with that report by the numbers. Ken?
You know, Jeff, this report caught a lot of financial observers by surprise, although some did think the numbers would be higher than predicted. Here's a look at the numbers. In January, the Department of Labor reported the U.S. added 517,000 jobs. That's twice as many as Wall Street predicted at 187,000. Also, the unemployment rate dipped lower than expected to 3.4%, the lowest level since 1969. Analysts thought it would be 3.6%. Financial observers say this shows hiring is speeding up and not slowing down. It also indicates there's no reason to think there's a recession on the way anytime soon. Now, keep in mind, some analysts aren't ready to go that far yet, but there's no denying these numbers are strong. This could signal, though, more action from the Federal Reserve that just this week raised interest rates for an 8th straight time. Now, the Federal Reserve meets again March 21st. No doubt the February jobs report will be a major factor in what the Feds do next in terms of slowing down inflation and the economy. Jeff?
Well, Ken, as you know, thank you for that update. The play from here is to check stocks and see what's happening on Wall Street right now on this Friday as we close out the business week. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 47 points right now. The S&P 500 is down marginally, down 11 points. NASDAQ hanging in there. It's down 26 points as we stand this noon.
Next at noon, it's a whole month dedicated to cardiovascular disease awareness. Why hands-only CPR is part of the main focus.
Also, some insurance companies will not cover certain types of vehicles. Who this affects and what you should do about it.
Plus, a vehicle crashed through the front of the Lewisburg Walmart. How the SUV was stopped and if the driver will face charges.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Today is National Wear Red Day, and according to the American Heart Association, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women. The national campaign hopes to bring attention to the disease and help save lives. Joining us now to talk about Go Red Month is Ann Miller. Ann, I'm wearing a red belt here. I don't know if you can see, but first want to talk about the big takeaway here, that cardiovascular disease still the number one killer of women. How prevalent is it?
Yes, well, we are so glad that you are wearing your red today and helping us raise awareness of women's number one killer, cardiovascular disease. And it's really our number one health threat. So there's many modifiable risk factors that we can take to control heart disease and stroke, including monitoring your blood pressure and cholesterol, moving more, adding color to your plate, and even sleep. That's an important help for you to live a long, healthy life.
Got to take care of the heart. Now, this year's focus is Be the Beat. What's that about?
Yeah, so last year, the American Heart Association asked women to reclaim their rhythm for Go Red for Women because so many of us were living through a global pandemic and it derailed our healthy habits. Well, this year, we continue to settle into our new normal, but we're asking women to help keep the rhythm and be the beat. So wherever you are, in an effort to reclaim your rhythm, keep the beat going, turn up the tempo, add in a new step, set a new goal. And these small actions can build up to big changes over time. We know that at the American Heart Association, we are rallying everyone to join and learn CPR. It's our new challenge to help at least one person in each household across America know how to perform hands-only CPR in a cardiac emergency.
Right, and a lot of folks might think CPR involves mouth-to-mouth, but there is the hands-only technique. Recently, Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin teamed up with the American Heart Association for a new CPR initiative. Talk about how that's boosting awareness and education.
Yes. Well, Damar Hamlin's hashtag 3 for Heart CPR challenge, it's a social media-based challenge launched by the NFL player himself of the Buffalo Bills, and he's working in collaboration with us to really draw attention to the importance of learning CPR. You can visit heart.org/3 to learn CPR and pay it forward by raising awareness and supporting education of this life-saving skill.
And we saw with Damar Hamlin how seconds truly matter, and you can really save someone's life with that CPR knowledge. Ann Miller with the American Heart Association for Go Red Month. Thank you so much. Where can people get more information about all of this?
Yeah, so visit heart.org, and you can learn all about the risk factors for heart disease and stroke, but certainly how to perform hands-only CPR. We know that if performed immediately, it could double or triple a cardiac arrest victim's chance of survival.
Ann Miller, it was great talking with you, and thank you for raising awareness about heart disease in women. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Renee.
We're getting a clearer picture of the measures being taken to keep students and fans safe ahead of tomorrow's Battle of the Blues. Although the UNC Duke basketball game is in Durham, the town of Chapel Hill is prepared for any celebrations like this one from last year. Officials tell WRL there'll be extra police on Franklin Street, and the town is in close contact with UNC officials. Duke, meanwhile, says the fire marshal will make the final decision tomorrow on whether or not to allow post-game bonfires. There will also be campus officials and police on hand to handle the traffic around the game. We'll have full coverage of the Battle of the Blues here on WRAL. The action tips off at 6:30 p.m. at Cameron Indoor Stadium. You can count on us for complete coverage this weekend of the rivalry leading up to the game, post-game celebrations, and reaction from players. On July 31st, 1966, Dr. Martin Luther King spoke to a crowd of thousands in Raleigh, but the day was overshadowed and history seemed lost forever. Until now. Tonight on WRAL, we'll reveal never-before-seen film from that day. Hear from a man who remembers it clearly and why this moment is so crucial for North Carolina. As we reach 12:18 right now on your Friday, the sun has finally come out as promised for this Friday afternoon.
And that's what we've all needed, right? After such a miserable week, it's so nice to see those blue skies and sunshine, Elizabeth.
There is a catch, and the catch, of course, is the wind and the chilly temperatures that we'll feel for the next 24 hours. After that, the second half of the weekend will be a little more mild, and next week, wow, we're going to be way above normal. Pretty blue sky, though, over Chapel Hill right now, looking gorgeous. You can see everybody out there, you know, pretty bundled up in their jackets and coats. Temperatures will hold in the mid-40s for the rest of the afternoon. We are sitting at 45 degrees in the Triangle area. Right now, it's 41 in Roxborough, 46 in Rocky Mount, 47 in Fayetteville, and 45 in Southern Pines. This is about as warm as it will get this afternoon. Take a look at the wind speeds. The steady wind speed is in the blue box on the left. Our winds are coming out of the northwest, so straight out of Canada, right into our area, and gusty too. The gusts are on the right, so we're gusting to 24 in Rocky Mount, 16 in South Hill, 19 up in Roxborough, 18 in Raleigh, 19 in Southern Pines, and our steady winds are anywhere from about 10 to 15 miles per hour right now. So it's getting blustery out there. That blustery wind is going to send that cold air right into North Carolina. We're going to feel it tonight and tomorrow. But just as quickly as we cool down, the winds will shift to southerly, and that will start to bring in more warmth. That moves into our area during the day Sunday and into next week as well. So 44 today, 42 tomorrow, 54 on Sunday. So we do see that a bit of a warm up as we wrap up the weekend. But take a look at our wind chill. Even at dinner time, looking at 5 o'clock, our temperature will feel like freezing in Raleigh and Durham. It'll feel like 25 in Roxborough. We'll move it on out and pause it in a couple of spots. At 10 o'clock, it feels like mid-teens in Roxborough and low 20s elsewhere. And then, of course, some folks will be up early on Saturday morning. We'll pause it right there at 7 a.m., 17 in the Triangle, 19 in Fayetteville, 12 in South Hill, 13 in Rocky Mount. And it's still chilly at 10 o'clock, feeling more like low 20s. It's going to feel like around 32 at lunchtime. It's cold out there. So, Krispy Kreme challenge. challenge. If you're going to be out there watching it, I would bundle up. It'll be 23 degrees at 8 a.m. with that wind chill at 15. We were talking about the Battle of the Blue. It's going to be hot inside Cameron Indoor Stadium, but chilly heading to the game with temperatures in the mid to upper 30s and coming out of the game about 32 degrees. But it'll be nice and dry. We have a dry period in our forecast. The only time that it looks like we could see a shower is Sunday in our eastern counties. It could cloud up a little bit with a quick shower. We're only giving it 20%. Make sure you continue to check in with us between now and Sunday if you have outdoor plans, but right now it doesn't look like much. After that, wow, you can break out the shorts and t-shirts. Maybe not, but it's going to be much warmer for the bulk of next week.
That 7-day forecast is winter in North Carolina, just ups and downs. All right, Elizabeth, thank you. Coming up today on WRL News at 4, mortgage rates dropped this week to the lowest level since September. The big question now, will we see more people in our area get back into the housing market? WRL's Matt Tallhelm went in search for an answer.
And tonight at 6, we know the worker shortage and pandemic clogged up those lines at DMVs across the state, but there's something else that's causing the issue. You. Five on Your Side explains.
Bye. By October of this year, some North Carolinians could see their car insurance jump by nearly 30%. We're hearing from the Department of Insurance about a requested auto insurance rate hike. The North Carolina Rate Bureau represents insurance companies in their dealings with state officials. This year's rate filing asks for a statewide increase of more than 28%. We asked the Bureau the reason for the big hike.
More people are commuting now that we're, I guess, sort of out of the pandemic. There's a lot more cars on the road. There's a lot more, you know, expenses that go into cars, and there's a lot more to insure.
The insurance commissioner will review the request and negotiate with the Rate Bureau. State Farm and Progressive say they will no longer insure some Kia and Hyundai models because of a sharp rise in thefts. State Farm says it's no longer accepting new customer applications in some states for certain model years. It says it's managing risk and the impact of claims costs on its customers. Hyundai and Kia owners who are currently insured by Progressive will be able to keep their policy. Vehicles from both car makers are frequently the target of car thieves.
Pilotless planes are headed for the sky. Ameriflight says it'll buy 20 autonomous planes to use in the cargo industry. The company partners with UPS, FedEx, and DHL. It says it will use the planes for its expedited shipping services. A stock expert is predicting robots will outnumber human workers at Amazon in less than 10 years. Amazon is adding thousands of robots a day. They currently equal about a third of the number of employees. CEO Kathy Wood says using robots would cut labor costs by 50%. We're staying on top of breaking news this noon at Zebulon Middle School, working to learn more about what led to the Code Red lockdown and what's next for students there. Everything we know is straight ahead.
Then what police say led to an SUV crashing into a Walmart and what we know about the driver involved.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We begin this half hour of news with our big stories of the day. Two Wake County middle schools are releasing students early after threats of violence prompted code red lockdowns on both campuses.
No students were hurt and no shots were fired. But as you can imagine, all kinds of thoughts racing through the minds of the students, teachers, and parents were there.
WRL's Adam Owens is live at Zebulon Middle School, where he spoke to some of the parents who are picking up their children early. Adam.
Yeah, I spoke to one of the families who just got their daughter with them. She just came out of the building. She was talking about how they were put into a room, how they were told to be quiet and stay in a position while law enforcement were inside searching around. Consider that what I'm telling you right now is part of a school day for a child in our area. Right now, a little bit of relief after all that pain and all that anxiety, waiting to see how this would all pan out. You see that parents have now joined a line of vehicles here where they can finally pick up their child. Now that the school has been removed from a code red lockdown to a lesser code yellow at the moment. According to first responders, radio traffic, officers arrived to reports of an active shooter and maybe even possible shots fired here at the school. They quickly assessed the situation and officers reported no evidence of a gun or a shooter was found. Still, Zebulon Middle School here went on a code red lockdown for a while. That meant that nobody could come or go. The school has now moved to that lesser code yellow. No injuries have been reported. That is all the good news. But I'm telling you, for hours, parents were standing across the street from this school, only understanding that there was a threat against the school, that it was on a lockdown, that police were in there and doing everything they could to try to find a threat. If there was one, they could do nothing more but to text with their kids across the street. It was painful to witness. It was a painful thing that these families went through as well. But again, at the moment, as things stand right now, no longer on a code red lockdown. We are now on a code yellow. It does allow parents, as we just mentioned, to form a line to come pick up their kids from school. And the important thing, again, Jeff, to reiterate, is that no threat was found inside. No weapons were found inside. There were no injuries. But talking to these parents, the pain and the anguish of what they went through is still very real. Back to you.
Adam Owens live in Zebulon, just happening all too often, as evidenced by about an hour later. After that one, a code red lockdown went into effect at East Millbrook Magnet Middle School in Raleigh. School officials say that was due to the rumor of a threat there. No one was hurt from that lockdown. It also drew parents to the school as well. The lockdown was lifted just before 11 a.m. and students were allowed to go home early.
The driver responsible for crashing an SUV into a local Walmart could face charges. Although the building was heavily damaged, it could have been a lot worse. WRL's Nia Hardin explains why the driver may not be the only one to face legal troubles.
Police have now accused a 26-year-old of reckless and careless driving and also say that this driver caused damage and could potentially face charges. These are new pictures showing you what happened moments after the crash. Police say the 26-year-old from Lewisburg crashed into this Walmart last night. Police say the driver's mother, who owns the car, could also be charged for allowing the vehicle to be driven with no insurance. Police say they're still investigating to see if the crash was due to the driver having a medical emergency. Workers tell us the driver had a seizure, and it was an employee who got into the car and was able to put the car in park quickly. Crews are going to be here all day today, boarding up this entrance. You can still shop here. You'll just have to use the other side. Nia Hardin, WRAL News in Lewisburg.
Five people are recovering after a crash in Johnston County. This happened in Smithfield on East Market Street just before 7:30 last night. You can see one of the cars was seriously damaged after it was T-boned. One of the drivers in the crash was charged with failure to yield.
Deputies in Cumberland County now have body cameras thanks to a grant from the Department of Justice. The cameras were given to some deputies on Thursday. 350 body cameras were bought by the sheriff's office last year. The sheriff's office says this will help keep them keep records of interactions between deputies and citizens. Every deputy will have a camera before the end of March. Activists in Raleigh are calling for police accountability. Last night they met at the Tarborough Road Community Center talking about police violence and the need for reform. Daryl Williams dying in Raleigh police custody more than a week ago was one point of discussion. The footage of Memphis police beating Tyree Nichols was the other.
So the solution is not to just ban tasers. It's not to ban chokeholds. It's to decouple police from all interactions that do not require somebody with a gun and a badge and a nightstick and pepper spray.
Imagine getting your head busted open while you get...
attended last night's forum.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has postponed his upcoming trip to China in response to the flying of a suspected Chinese spy balloon over the U.S. Now, this all comes after high-level conversations between Blinken, President Biden, and other top national security officials. The top U.S. diplomat's trip to the Chinese capital was due to follow up with President Joe Biden's meeting with Xi Jinping in Bali late last year. Now, as far as the spy balloon goes, the Chinese Foreign Ministry maintains that this was a civilian airship used for weather research. Michelle, thanks. U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar is off the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Republicans united in voting to remove the Minnesota Democrat from her committee seat. They say some of her previous tweets and comments were anti-Semitic, critical of Israel, and appeared to downplay 9/11. Democrats say the vote was merely revenge for bipartisan votes in the last Congress to remove two Republican members from all of their committee assignments. Democrats say Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar made threats against fellow members.
Why are people letting snails crawl all over their face? apparently it's a thing now. I don't know, Renee, how snails could hold the key to radiant skin.
Oh my. Well, you know what else is a thing? Betting on weather forecasts. What caused the surge in people to place wagers on the weather? Now, if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WREL News app. Such a pretty view of Lake Gaston where you're looking live, the sunshine and the blue skies. Doesn't feel warm though. We're in the 40s, and then tonight it's going to get really cold, down into the 20s. Tomorrow morning will be cold. You're watching WREL News, available on Hulu and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device.
Postpartum depression is real. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says one out of every 10 new moms suffer from it. It's much more than what's called the baby blues because it lasts longer and tends to be more severe. Symptoms include mood swings, anxiety, sadness, crying, irritability, and feeling overwhelmed. Prompt treatment is important.
Postpartum depression, or maternal, mental health, as being referred to now, is normal and happens to a lot of women and can have a varying degree of severity.
Help and support are the key to coping. Get as much rest as you can. Accept help from family and friends. Connect with other new moms. Carve out time for you and avoid alcohol.
Beauty regimens can range from the simple to the extreme, with facials involving standard practices, others taking a more unusual approach. Jackie Ibanez takes a look at a growing trend where people are, get this, letting live snails crawl all over their faces.
How far would you go to get radiant skin? While there's a bunch of different types of facials out there, beauty specialists in Syria are treating clients with a technique using live snails.
It was very useful for me.
These albino snails are prized for their slime. Beauticians credit them for moisturizing the skin, helping to produce a glowing complexion, and even reducing signs of aging. Workers apply the critters onto clean skin, where they crawl around for about 30 minutes.
My skin became softer and my pores became smaller.
Officials here say their snail facials are growing in popularity because they don't use any harsh ingredients.
There was a huge turnout because people are willing to return to natural, pure, and organic things because chemicals always have side effects.
Muhammad Alifar and his sister are running this snail operation. The siblings own roughly 1,500 of these slippery creatures, which they say require a lot of attention.
Snails are very specific. Some beauty centers ask us to sell them snails, but they will not be able to raise them. They need special care and nutrition.
Meanwhile, using snails for beauty and health reasons can be traced back to ancient Greece, where people would crush up the animal and apply it to cuts on their skin.
I don't think I could do it. That was Jackie Ibanez reporting.
Dual purpose, though.
How about you?
Can you eat them after? Is that a thing?
Look, if you don't want to put live snails on your face, you can find a number of face washes, creams, toners containing snail secretion if you want that ingredient here in the U.S.
All right.
All right.
Could be the future of home building here. We'll show you how one company hopes to help solve the housing crisis one box at a time.
It's just on the edge of crazy, but it's technologically possible.
Coming up, from science fiction to reality, one company says riding a drone could soon be possible.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, the FBI is offering a new reward for information about the Moore County substation attacks that happened back in December. The Bureau's Charlotte office added up to $25,000 for information about those attacks. It's offering the same amount for information about a different incident that happened in Randolph County. Investigators do not believe the two shootings are connected. The attack in Moore County, though, led to 45,000 customers losing power for as long as 5 days. Again, this happened back in December. Anyone with information is asked to contact the FBI at tips.fbi.gov.
A Las Vegas-based company believes they have a new solution to solve the housing crisis in the U.S. Jacqueline Schultz shows us the $150,000 home that the company says can be built from the ground up in just a few days.
It's
It's a cool house.
Would you live here?
I was shocked about how much room is in those things.
I've been wanting to go tiny.
You see yourself living in one of these places?
Oh, for sure.
The purpose of Boxable is exactly to solve the housing crisis. So this is a scale play to do houses in volume.
Las Vegas company Boxable unveiled their newest prototype at the International Builders Show. It's a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house with a deck. The cost, $150,000. It can be built from the ground up in days.
That is how we solve the national housing crisis.
The company recently opened its second warehouse in North Las Vegas to keep up with demand for its smaller model. The casita is 400 square feet and has requests from everyone, from families that need a backyard guest house or granny pad to the Department of Defense. The CEO says there's 170,000 names on the wait list.
At the factory, we're making a home every 4 hours. We'll be down to 20 minutes by the end of the year.
The company insists they're not about tiny homes. From the latest model to prototypes, they envision in the future you can design your home by stacking shelves how you see fit and walk you through the process to buy a plot of land. To build more larger models very fast, the company's already looking for a third factory site, possibly in the Apex area.
We'll scale from 2 to 6 million square feet, making it really one of the largest factories anywhere.
It looked like it'd be good, affordable housing.
Litter bugs may have played a role in the death of a massive whale. The Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources says numerous manufactured items found inside the 56-foot-long mammal could have played a factor in its death. Crews used heavy equipment to bring the whale onto the beach. During the 15-hour probe, officials say they found at least half a dozen fish traps and various plastic bags in the whale's stomach. We've all heard about sports betting, right? But what about taking your chances on the weather? Placing bets on how much rain or snow a certain area will get is gaining popularity. According to one expert in sports policy, weather betting took off during the pandemic when most sporting events were shut down, so there was nothing to place bets on. And while the U.S. has tough laws on betting, weather betting is not regulated.
Well, I would have lost my house on Snurd seeing her shadow yesterday if I bet on that, right? Because there was no way.
You thought there was no chance.
There's no way. I said, there's no way. And sure enough, Snurd came out and said she saw it. Well, Elizabeth is right on, spot on. If we
my bet's on her.
Yeah,
that's right.
Bet on her forecast because there's sunshine here now. You said there would be.
That's a crazy story. I had no idea that was all going on. But, well, anyway, we'll carry on. Apex, Chapel Hill, look at that pretty blue sky. Goldsboro, also almost everybody seeing some of that sunshine now. And as we go through the afternoon, we'll see even more of it. But of course, we'll also see our winds pushing in some colder air. So it's going to be coat weather through the afternoon. That beautiful view in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We do have, of course, our Arctic Blast, that high pressure system that's sitting up there near the Great Lakes, rotating clockwise, is helping to push that cold air down. We've had our cold front shift offshore, taking the rain with it, and we'll have nothing but sunshine for the next several days. Let's take another look at our wind. Again, the steady wind out of the northwest is in the blue box on the left. So 13 miles an hour in Southern Pines, 16 Fayetteville and Rocky Mount. And then on the white box on the right side, those are our gusts. So we're gusting to 18 in Durham, up to 24 in Rocky Mount, 19 in Goldsboro, 18 in Clinton. And with temperatures as cool as they are, that's already making it feel pretty chilly. This is a look at our hour by hour wind chills for early tomorrow morning. This evening, those wind chills will be in the mid 20s to right around 32. But by 7 a.m., the wind chill will be 19 at 8 a.m. When folks are running down Hillsborough Street after some donuts, it's going to feel like 19. At lunchtime, it'll feel like 31, and it never really feels like 40s into the afternoon. So it's going to be pretty and sunny, but awfully chilly. Of course, futurecast showing that continued clearing as we head through the afternoon. We'll see clear skies overnight tonight and lots of bright sunshine for tomorrow. 33 is our normal low, and 20 is where we're headed overnight tonight. We typically see the coldest temperature this time of year at about 7 a.m., so we'll hit 20 degrees or so. Then Sunday, 28. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we start to climb. It's still going to be coat weather, but our afternoons are really going to start to warm up. But we have to get through the next 24 hours. Right now, it's 15 in Cleveland, 5 in Chicago, and minus 7 in Minneapolis. And those are just regular temperatures, not even taking into account the wind chill. In the purple shaded areas, the wind chill will feel like as low as minus 35. That includes part of the mountains of West Virginia. And then, of course, into the northeast, that's where they've not seen wind chills like this in decades, feeling like as low as minus 65. And that'll be tonight and early tomorrow morning. If it is 20 degrees, I'm sorry, the wind chill is 20 degrees right now in Sugar Mountain, and the temperature is right around freezing. Looks like folks are really happy there, jumping around to the sunny skies, and they're making some snow. 28, the high temperature this afternoon across our mountains, 40 for tomorrow and 50 on Sunday. So a nice little warm up. If you like a little warmer when you ski, Sunday looks like a pretty good day. After that, nice warm up. Temperatures around here will climb into the 60s. Our overnight lows by the middle of the week are in the 40s and even low 50s. Very little rain in our forecast for the next 7 days. A small chance of a shower late on Sunday.
Elizabeth, thank you. Now's the time to invest in the future of transportation. We'll give you the specs on this hover bike. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. We continue to follow breaking news out at Zebulon Magnet Middle School. No students were hurt after the school went into a code red lockdown earlier this morning. Students were allowed to go home early, and right now the school is under a code yellow lockdown. We're working to learn more about what led to the security concern. Authorities say no shots were fired and they did not find any guns at the school.
And Renee, about an hour after that one, a code red lockdown went into effect at East Millbrook Magnet Middle School in Raleigh. School officials say that was due to the rumor of a threat there. No one was hurt from that lockdown. It brought parents out to the school as well, though. The lockdown was lifted just before 11 a.m. and students were allowed to go home early.
The government released its new jobs report today. In January, the Department of Labor says the U.S. added 517,000 jobs. That's more than twice as many as Wall Street predicted at 187,000. The unemployment rate dipped lower than expected to 3.4%, lowest level since 1969. Analysts thought it would be more around 3.6%. An American drone company is also developing a vehicle that resembles a flying motorcycle. The designers hope people could use it for their daily commute to work. Electrofly, located in Utah, designs custom drones made for deliveries. Their dream is to use that technology to make flying more accessible. So far, they've tested it using very heavy boards with hopes to try a very limited manned flight later this year. And eventually, he says it will be fully electric.
Recreational vehicle is probably where this is all going to start. The FAA has regulations that kind of limit the use of a lot of these products right now.
Electrofly is currently running out of the designer's house, but they're moving to a larger space. They expect the first models will likely cost around $400,000. The plan is to eventually make them more affordable. Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Fiona is truly and completely delightful. She's happy, wiggly, and playful, yet polite. Fiona is a year and a half old, weighs about 50 pounds. She loves all kinds of people, including kids, and she loves other dogs. Fiona is well-behaved and good on a leash. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
She's ready to go right there. A promising job market has a lot of folks turning to online listings for a new path, but a growing number of job seekers have been falling into scams. Today on WRL News at 4, how to spot fake job listings trying to trick you.
Love seeing that sunshine out there. Go on and enjoy the day, even though it's a little chilly. NBC News Daily next on WRL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get out there and enjoy your birthday here in about 8 seconds. You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Have a great weekend.
Want more news and weather? Coverage continues across all major streaming platforms using the WRAL app and on the radio at 99.3 in Raleigh and 96.5 in Durham.